Woman of the Bible. My name is Nadia, and today we are doing part two of Bathsheba, episode 15. Now, if you missed part one, you definitely want to watch that video first, because I spoke about some important tidbits and facts about why Bathsheba is not really a bad girl of the Bible, like the whole world seems to think. And so we discussed her family background. We discussed what happened with King David and that scandal, and how he murdered her husband Uriah, and how really she was not responsible for what took place. And today we are going to conclude and bring out some things that perhaps you've never heard, but they are right here in the Word of God. Some amazing insights, some amazing facts to show that God is a redemptive God, that God is a God of grace, and that no matter what our sin is in the past, He blots it out and He washes it away, and we can have new life in Him. And so, again, if you didn't watch it, go to that episode and watch it first. And today we will continue, and we will start at 2 Samuel chapter 12. So where we left off last time, Uriah gets murdered, and David takes Bathsheba to be his wife, and they have that son, which of course she became pregnant with in that scandalous affair that they had. And so we will continue here from 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. So let's turn to that. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David. Now Nathan was a prophet of God. And he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing, except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. And it ate of his own food, and drank from his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are this man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have also given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Amnon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel, before the sun." So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die." Then Nathan departed to his house. Wow, an incredible story, an incredible parable. Now, I want you to understand something. This took place because David loved, or rather God loved David so much that he was not going to let him go. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, the Bible says. And so he was chastening David. And so Nathan tells this parable, this incredible parable, this story. You know, Jesus told parables in the New Testament. Well, here's a parable in the Old Testament. Nathan tells the story of two men, one rich, one poor. One rich man that had many herds and flocks, and the poor man had one little lamb. And so when a traveler, when a visitor came to see this rich man, nope, he didn't take from his own flock. He took the poor man's lamb and killed it. Now, David, hearing this story, got enraged. He got so angry. He says, who is this man? This man's going to be put to death. How could this happen? This man had no pity. And Nathan reveals that this man is you, David. You did this exact thing. Isn't that incredible? As a side note, last time, and this ties into what I'm going to say about this little parable, but if you remember last time when I spoke from 2 Samuel 11, verse 4, when David sent messengers after he found out, first of all, he saw Bathsheba bathe. He inquired about this woman, found out who her father was, found out who her grandfather was. These were loyal men of his, but he didn't care. He sent messengers anyway. So the Bible says in verse 4, he sent messengers and she came to him. Now, what I didn't say about this last time, I forgot to say, and this is really important. These messengers that were sent, do you think David said, well, you know what, I'm going to sleep with this woman, so hey guys, why don't you go to Bathsheba, bring her here? I don't think he even disclosed what he was going to do with the messengers, or with Bathsheba, to the messengers. So these messengers went to Bathsheba. She probably was wondering, why is David wanting, King David wanting to see me? And so she probably had absolutely no idea. So yes, she came to him. And yes, the moment she got there, I'm sure when David did his advances on her, I don't think this was a mutual thing. Remember, she was a married woman. I don't think she wanted to do this terrible thing because she came from a godly home. She loved the Lord. She purified herself according to the laws of purification. So she was following God. And so when David asked her of this thing and made advances, I'm sure she didn't want to do this. Did she have a choice? If she cried out and says to somebody or cried out, hey, somebody come and help me. The king wants to sleep with me. Do you think anybody would have come to her rescue? No, this was the king. So this was clearly royal rape, as I pointed out last time. He took advantage of his position. And as this parable points out, do you see that there was a perpetrator, the rich man, who represents King David? There was a victim, Bathsheba. Now, we don't know whether the rich man represented, we know the rich man represented David, but the poor man, if he represented Uriah, could have. And she was the lamb that was slaughtered, taken away from him, or the other way around. It could have been that she was represented as the poor man and Uriah was the lamb, because wasn't he in fact slaughtered? So regardless how you look at this, the main thing that we see here is that clearly Bathsheba and Uriah were victims, and King David was the perpetrator. We see that. And so if you notice, Bathsheba is not even brought up in this rebuke in all of this. David was the one where judgment was pronounced. So when Nathan told David, he automatically recognized he has sinned against the Lord. And for those of you that know your Bible well, you will also know that the very famous Psalm 51, you can turn to it and read it at another time. That was a psalm that he wrote of repentance. He poured his heart out to the Lord of how he sinned with Bathsheba. And so he recognized he sinned against the Lord. But let me tell you something, ladies, there was judgment with this sin. The Bible says, and Nathan pronounced, according to the Lord, that the sword would never depart from his house. David was a man of war, we see that. And he was running for his life all the time, so much so that in fact his own son, Absalom, turned against him. We talked about that in part one with Bathsheba. We talked about that, how her grandfather, Bathsheba's grandfather, gave advice to Absalom to sleep with concubines, David's concubines. We see that unfold right here with what was said. His own neighbor, his own son, slept with his concubines right in front of all of Israel, right underneath the sun, as the Bible says right here. And so the sword never departed from his house. Bathsheba was never once rebuked in this. Do you see how she's the victim? She's not this seductress, this temptress that the world wants to paint her out to be. She was a victim of abuse. She was not rebuked in this, only David, because he knew better. So much so that Nathan also had the highest respect for Bathsheba. Later on, in David's dying days, when David was practically on his deathbed, it was Adonijah that proclaimed himself as king. His son proclaimed himself as king because his father was dying. And it was Bathsheba and Nathan together that went to speak to David to remind him. And she reminded him, hey, you said my son Solomon was going to be king. And then later on, of course, that's what David did. He declared before everyone that Solomon was going to be king. So she was, Bathsheba was a victim in all of this. She was a victim in this power structure, which she had no control of. We see that. And remember last time I talked about this too with Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was also a very beautiful woman like Bathsheba was taken advantage of in the fact that Abimelech took her into his harem. And Abraham lied about it, saying that, well, he didn't say that Sarah was his wife. He said it was his sister. Why? Because he had no control over it. It was part of this power structure. Think about it, ladies. David had, you have to remember, before Bathsheba came on the scene, David had seven wives at the time of the affair. So he took complete advantage of this situation. He took another man's wife. And so the weight of this scandal lies on his own head. Remember that, not on Bathsheba's head. And so all these consequences were upon David. Oh yes, she suffered because of it, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But you have to remember, he knew exactly what he was doing. David did, as I said. He knew who Bathsheba was, and that both men, both Uriah and her father Eliam, were part of his valiant men, but he didn't care. He did it anyway. He knew that her grandfather was his valued advisor. He didn't care. He did it anyway. And so he sent messengers for her when he shouldn't have. Why? Because A, he was married, and B, she was married. He shouldn't have done this terrible thing, but he set up a very sinful storm and this crazy domino effect, which I talked about last time. And this displeased the Lord, as the Bible says. And so what happened? Yes, she gave birth to that child, but that child died 7 days later. 7 days later. And so let's look at and see what 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 and 25 say. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. So this was after the baby died. And went in to her and lay with her. And so she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. I want you to underscore the next part. Look at this. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Jedidiah. So she had another son, Jedidiah. That was his real name in some sense, Jedidiah. means beloved of Jehovah. Oh, isn't that an interesting thing? And Solomon, the name that we all know him by, means peace. And certainly he lived up to that name, because you know what? When Solomon was king, it was a time of peace. There were no wars all those years that Solomon ruled. Why? Because he was the one who was chosen to build the Lord's house. And so we see that. Now, as I pointed out before in that verse, now the Lord loved him. Loved who? Loved Solomon. Does this show you that God is still angry with David and Bathsheba? No. He loved Solomon. It shows you the complete opposite. God was not holding anything against David and Bathsheba at this point. Quite the opposite. In fact, like I just read in verse 13 of that chapter, what does the Bible say? And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." The Lord put away his sin. He cast it away as far as the east is to the west. And that's what God does with our sins, ladies. When we repent and he blots it out, he forgets about it. Does it mean that we won't suffer the consequences? Oh, yes, there are consequences of sin. Absolutely. We see what happened with David, that truly the Lord did not depart from, or the sword did not depart from his house, and also the fact that his child died. And there were consequences. But we also see that even though this marriage was not supposed to happen, Bathsheba was married to Uriah. And even though out of something ugly, you know, God still turned it around and made good out of it for his own glory. So what does this show us? That yes, there can be life after adultery. That yes, there can be blessing after divorce, or things that are awful that happen in our lives. God is still on the throne, and he is a God that, yes, he chastises, but yes, he redeems. You see, Bathsheba is a story of not a perfect woman, but a story where we see the hand of God and the grace of God in her life, and we see that she is accepted. Now, I'm going to point out something to you really incredible to show you and to prove to you how God's hand was upon Bathsheba's life. Look at this. Now, we know, of course, she had a son named Solomon through David, but she also had three other sons. Let's look at this. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 5. And let's see if you see what I see in this scripture right here. And these were born to him in Jerusalem. Speaking of David's sons, Shimeah, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. Four by Bathsheba. Now Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. So these are just different names, different ways of saying Bathsheba and her father's name. So to show you that there were four sons that he had through Bathsheba. What do you see in those four sons? There is a son by the name of Nathan. Nathan, what do you get out of that? What you get out of that is the fact that they named their son Nathan after Nathan the prophet. And so despite the fact that God used Nathan to chastise David and to speak into David's life, you know what? There was no ought against him. They realized and they took these words to heart, so much so there was such a deep love for Nathan the prophet that they named their son after him. Isn't that incredible? And so I want to show you something. Remember a couple of episodes ago, I spoke about Herodias. Herodias, the wife of Herod in the New Testament. And Herod, what he did was he married his brother's wife. He should have not done that. It was unlawful to take his brother's wife. And who pointed that out? It was John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist pointed that out, oh dear, Herodias got so angry with it. She not only despised the message, but she despised the messenger. And she was responsible for John the Baptist being beheaded. Think about that. She killed the greatest man ever born of a woman, according to Jesus. That's what Jesus said, that John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born of a woman. She was responsible for his beheading. Why? Because she refused the rebuke. She refused the chastisement. She should have repented. She should have turned around, but she didn't. And she took it to murder. She hated the messenger and she hated the message, both of them. In this story, what did David do? He heard the message and he received it. Oh, this is me? This is me who you're talking about? And he realized he sinned against the Lord. And not only that, he received the messenger and he received the message, both of them, Nathan and the message. And so he named Nathan. He took the name of Nathan for his own son. Isn't that incredible? And that's why I love what Proverbs 27 says. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 27 verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What does that mean? Well, a good friend who really loves you will tell you the truth, won't just shower you with flattery all the time and say all the wonderful things you want to hear, but they will point out the truth. They will point out when you are wayward. And you know what? Isn't it like you and me? When somebody told us that, you know what, you need to come to God, you need to turn away. Isn't there a great appreciation of that person? Don't you love that person because they pointed you to the Lord? Well, that's exactly what happened with Nathan and David right here. David loved Nathan. So much so he named his son after Nathan. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh yeah, isn't that true? Your enemies, oh, they will flatter you and they will say all the lovely things to your face, but behind your back, you know what? They will stab you. That's why a true friend will tell you as it is, will point out your faults in love. And will tell you, you know what, you went the wrong way and I'm only telling you because I love you and because God loves you. And so here we see that their son was named Nathan. But let's take this even a little bit further. What is really incredible in this story, the greatest thing, one of the greatest things is that we'll look at the genealogy of Jesus. In the New Testament, two places talk about the genealogy of Jesus. Matthew is one of them. And Matthew speaks about the genealogy of Jesus, his ancestry according to Joseph's life. Joseph, Jesus's earthly father, who really had nothing to do with the conception of Jesus. We know Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit through Mary, and so Joseph had nothing to do with it, but the promised Messiah was to come from the tribe of Judah, which is from David's lineage. Well, we know with David, let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, what it says here. The lineage of David, and the lineage, of course, of Joseph. And Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. So right here, we see Bathsheba. Bathsheba is mentioned here in scripture indirectly. So Solomon is part of the lineage of Jesus. Now, I want to point this out to you. Do you know how many sons David had? David had at least 19 sons. Two that were unnamed, so there we look at 21 sons. One of them, of course, Bathsheba, lost the first son who died in his infancy. There were 19 sons that are named, and you know what? Usually a king should have been the oldest son. Well, Solomon was chosen right here. The beloved of Jehovah was chosen in the genealogy. Bathsheba, one of the eight wives of David, was chosen. Could have been any one of the other wives. Why not Abigail? Wasn't Abigail, and I talked about Abigail, how incredible of a woman of God she was. She wasn't chosen, but Bathsheba was chosen. The redeeming love and grace of God we see right here. And I'm not finished yet. Let's turn to the genealogy of Mary, which is found in Luke chapter 3. And we're going to see something incredible. Maybe you've never seen this before. And that's why, again, I am pointing out that, oh, God's redemptive love for Bathsheba, even though this great sin may have labeled her, he didn't label her this way. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3, verse 31. What does it say here? Speaking of the genealogy, the son of Melia, the son of Menon, the son of Mattatha, the son of, who do you see there? Nathan, the son of David. Nathan is in the genealogy of Jesus, her other son. So look at this, Bathsheba's two sons. On both sides of the family, Joseph and Mary were part of Bathsheba's genealogy. Isn't that incredible? God could have chosen one of the other wives of David, but he didn't. Look at this. How does God look at Bathsheba? Do you see Bathsheba now in an incredibly different light? How amazing is this? And so when we recap and look at the life of Bathsheba, we see that she was from a godly home. We see that two of her sons were chosen in the genealogy of Christ. Solomon, the beloved of Jehovah, that's what Jedediah means. And so we see that God chose Solomon, God chose Nathan, after Nathan the prophet. And so what does this tell you? It tells you how much God's hand was upon Bathsheba, that even though these things transpired in the past, he elevated Bathsheba. You see, when God saves someone, he doesn't just save them and forgive them, but he elevates them. And so he elevated her. It's like he gave her a ring. It's like he gave her a robe. It's like he gave her a fatted calf and let her sit at the father's table, just like the prodigal son. And not only that, but he brought her into royalty, not just the earthly royalty of King David and her being his wife, but part of the lineage of Christ. Isn't that incredible? And that's what he does for you and for me. We are part of that royal priesthood when we come to Christ and he blots out our sins and they are no more and we have new life in him. Oh, what a beautiful picture of grace and redemption. I keep mentioning this over and over again. He doesn't simply put a band-aid on our hearts, but he puts a crown on our heads. And he trades that prison garb, that attire, prison attire that only prisoners wear, those striped uniforms, for a beautiful robe of righteousness. Oh, the mercy and the grace of God, how great it is. And so I'm not going to stop here. Let's talk about what her own son thought of her. This is really important too. What does King Solomon say about her? Well, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Look at this. This is really incredible. Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her. Imagine that, the king bowed down to his mother and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said to her, ask it, my mother, for I will not refuse you. Oh, my goodness, what do you see right there? Remember, King Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines. It's hard to imagine, but yeah. Who does he have a throne for next to him? His mother. That's how much he valued his mother. His mother was a woman of God, and we're going to see this in the next part that I'm going to bring out, but think about that. So she asks him a petition. In fact, she was asking about Adonijah, that Abishag would be his wife. And so, but why I pointed this out to you is the fact of the kind of respect, the kind of love, the kind of honor he gave his mother. So she wasn't just some floozy woman. Clearly, he saw her as a woman of God. And lastly, we're going to talk about Proverbs 31. Oh, everybody kind of knows about Proverbs 31. We think about the virtuous woman, and we talk about the virtuous woman, and how everyone needs to have, all women need to have these qualities. Well, we forget the first part of the chapter. Let's turn to verse 1 and see what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. So I'm going to stop right there. I could continue reading, but you see a mother giving advice to the son. Now we see in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel. Who's that? Some people wonder who that was. Well, King Lemuel, as most scholars believe, is actually King Solomon. King Solomon, and it could have been a pet name. It could have been a nice little love name that Bathsheba had for her son. So when you look at this verse, and it says the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. His mother taught him these words. His mother taught him how to live a godly life. His mother really indirectly wrote Proverbs 31 of what a virtuous woman was. And what's interesting about that is the fact that here she's trying to teach her son not to look after women who are just attractive, not to look at just the outward appearance, because remember she was caught in that. Remember how King David, oh, that's how it all started. It started with her beauty, but she was trying to point out, no, this is skin deep. Beauty is skin. It's what's inside. And she's trying to teach this to her son. And let me tell you something. If she was a hypocrite with all of this, he would have never held these words dear. These words would have never been penned. So clearly, whatever she taught him, this was the kind of life she lived. She lived the life of Proverbs 31 woman, because she was the Proverbs 31 woman. She was a virtuous woman. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't this all kind of just blow your mind when it comes to Bathsheba? And again, it's not something that we need to label her as the woman who was caught in that scandalous affair, but that life is past. That life is behind. It's who she came to be. It's how God elevated her and how God looked at her, so much so that he put her in the genealogy of Jesus, not with one son, but with both sons. Isn't that incredible? Praise God for his word. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope that this was an incredible lesson to all of you, and even to myself. It's just a reminder of the great woman that she was, and not how the world depicts her. Amen, ladies. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you once again for your incredible, incredible word. Because, Father, there are so many times when we can read your word and there are things that we don't see unless we go deeper into your word and look at the incredible spiritual nuggets that come out and make scripture alive. And, Father, thank you for Bathsheba, that, Lord, again, she's not defined by her past, but Lord, you defined her by her future. as you define all of us. And Lord Jesus, as we examine our own lives, Lord Jesus, we see that even with Bathsheba, even minus the scandal, Lord, Father, she lived almost the life of a soap opera. She went through so much pain. She lost her husband. She lost her child. And Lord Jesus, she was in constant, not necessarily fear, but her life was always in turmoil because David was always running and from his enemies, and her life could have been over with at any time. Lord, there was much tragedy associated with her life, but yet, Father, you elevated her. You set her foot upon the rock. And Lord, as we look at our own lives, that's exactly what you have done for us. Father, in our own lives, there could have been many situations, Father, that are so heartbreaking and maybe still heartbreaking. But Lord, you are not done with us yet, like you were not done with Bathsheba. And Lord Jesus, thank you for where you placed her. Thank you, Father, that truly you were the lifter of her head, that you brought her into spiritual royalty like you brought us into spiritual royalty. And we are the sons and daughters and part of your royal priesthood. And Father, we just thank you that, Lord Jesus, there's so many good things yet to come, not only in the heavenly realm, but also here on earth. Lord, you have great plans for us. And so, Father, as we look at our own lives, and we thank you, Father, that you do indeed blot the sins and you remember them no more. Father, we just thank you that, Lord Jesus, you have a great plan and a great future for us. And I pray for every woman out there who is struggling, and Lord, who may have been part of an abusive situation and part of heartbreaking situations, Lord, that have been so overwhelming that, Lord, life does not stop there. But Lord, again, you have that plan for them. And so, Lord, bless every woman that is watching. Bless the woman, Father, who might be even weeping right now. And Lord, maybe she relates to Bathsheba. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you have a great life ahead of us. Lord, not just an earthly life, but most of all, Lord God, an eternal life that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray you bless every woman. And Lord God, help them to draw closer to you in their walk with you. You are a great and mighty God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you again, ladies, for tuning in today. Again, this was a fantastic episode. Share it with somebody. Maybe if you haven't subscribed to this channel, subscribe, because you know what? There are many more women in the Bible that I'm going to be speaking of in the future, and should God tarry and should God will. And there are so many great lessons that we can learn from the women in the Bible. And so share these episodes out with others, and I just pray that the Lord continues to bless you, and remember that every single day counts for the kingdom of God. So live today for His glory and to the fullest that you can to bring glory to His name. So bless you and bless your families. Until next time, may God continue to surround you with His love, His mercy, His grace. Bye for now.